Our most kind and gracious Father in heaven, we come to you, Lord, because you do have the power and the glory and the majesty. Lord, we come because we are confident that thou art the giver of grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the grace that you've shed upon us. The giving of the gospel, the giving of the Lord Jesus Christ who laid his life down that he might cleanse us from our sins. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your body, the church, that it might assemble itself and strengthen itself and be built up and be comforted in the things that you give to us. Now, Lord, we ask you blessing upon this service this afternoon. Continue to open your word to us. Lord, give us sight that we might see the Lord Jesus Christ himself. These things we ask in thy name and for thy sake. Amen.
Amen. I'm thankful that we're here.
Amen.
My message, what little there is to it, is going to be found out of the book of Psalms, chapter 10. But before I get there, I want to read a verse out of the chapter of John, chapter 13. I believe it was somebody talking about love this morning. I believe it was Brother JT. But nonetheless, now, this is a good memory verse for every single one of us. In fact, I wish I knew it at one time, Brother JT, but my memory since then is going by the wayside.
I understand.
Okay, in the book of John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35.
Yeah, right.
Right. I believe you said something about it this morning, or a little bit above that. But I want you to follow this quite carefully. I want you to read it to yourself. Remember where it is. Don't forget it. Joy, remember where it is. This is a good scripture. Mandel, it's a good scripture. Joanne, can you remember it? You remember this verse, where it is. John, the 13th chapter, verses 34 and 35. It's something every one of us needs to remember. Now, I have mine highlighted because I went and painted it orange some time back. Chapter 13, verses 34 and 35 reads, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another." Ah, we heard that preach this morning. "As I have loved you, that you also love one another." We're all to love one another. We're not to be so critical and obnoxious toward every single each other in here. But we're to love one another. Verse 35. "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." Pay particular attention to this phrase. You're identified in this particular fashion. "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one to another." If you love one to another, Bruce, as you took that dear lady out on the street out there and let her out down there from her house and everything, she probably didn't know the Lord, but I'm saying that's the way we're to be. We should be helpful, and with love we should help people when we can, or when we should, which is every occasion we come across. But if you have love one to another, we're going to be, it's going to prove and show that we're discipled one to another and to the world that's around us. Does anybody disagree with that? Sometimes it's so hard to do that. By the way, if anybody has any comments, feel free to state the comment or make a remark or whatever. Because I'm like Bruce this morning. I come without being prepared. But we want to look at. I'm going to go from that all the way over to Psalm 10. Now, this is particular, I'm going to say chapter 10 and chapter 11 also. Now, I'm basically going to read it, but we're going to have a few comments along the way, I hope. And Brother Bruce's message earlier this morning, he spoke about certain ones having wisdom, and apparently some did not have wisdom. In this chapter right here, you'll find out that there's a great number of people that do not have the proper wisdom, the wisdom of God's Word, the wisdom of His righteousness. Okay, why standest thou afar off? David speaking. When I got up this morning, I was looking at a portion of the scripture right here. And when I began to think about it and talk to myself, I was speaking to the Lord. And David was speaking to the Lord here. Mm-hmm. So this whole chapter, this, he didn't write it. It does say David there. He might have read it, but he had some scribes around him that took care of that type of work for him. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? He asked the question to the Lord. Why are you so far away? Have you ever asked? Well, why are you so far away? Why can't I talk to you up close? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? Why is it you're always gone and out of place when I need your help? There are many times that I've needed help along the way, and even on some jobs, Brother J.C. Lord, I need your help in this matter. Where are you at, Lord? Are you hiding from me? Are you going to help me? Verse 2. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. Notice the word wicked there. I'll point this out before we get started any further. That word wicked is what this whole chapter and the next chapter are all about, as far as I'm concerned, the wicked. You notice it uses the word he and different other pronouns within these verses, and that's exactly the people that it's talking about. He, the wicked. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. It's real easy to... Bruce, I'm not trying to... you just convenient. That dear lady that come in here and visited in here, we don't know her financial situation, but I'm going to assume, and I think I'm pretty close to being right about it. She was a poor lady. We really don't know. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. What is her imagination toward us? What is her imagination to the things of God? What is her imagination toward God's Word? What is her imagination to the truth of God's righteousness? We don't know. We really don't know. But anyway, David had some people around him, a lot of people around him. And he called them the wicked. And he noticed something about them. In his pride doth persecute the poor. let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. Verse 3. For the wicked boasted. These are characteristics of ungodly people. To me, when the scripture's talking about a wicked person, he's talking about an unsaved man, a person. To me. Now you might say something different, but I don't know anything else to say about them. David says right here, for the wicked boasteth. Now we can speak all day long on probably that one word. Bruce, I can't do it. I don't have that much time. But because you see, I believe that there are times when the elect of God can boast a little bit. I can boast on this church right here. I feel good about being a member of this church because I've learned some things here. But in this scripture here, it says, for the wicked boasted of the heart's desire. These wicked people that we're talking about,
he's kind of saying here, they're kind of birds of a feather, like get together and talk about
it. Yeah, they do that. See? They like to go down to the local Dairy Queen or some other place and talk about
it. It makes me think of this country western song that I've heard of Timothy.
Sing it to us.
This fellow said he's a black sheep of the family. I don't even know who the artist is. He is or nothing, but he said he's the black sheep of the family, but all the rest of the family, they like to get together and talk about what they got. From that's them. Kind of what they're talking about here.
Yeah, what they have. Them. Yeah, well, I've heard that before. I really don't want to say anything about my son, but he's like that. You can get with him and he begins to talk about the things that he has and he's got.
You know what's a common conversation today is how much retirement they got together, how good it's going to be.
I've heard, Brother J.T., how many cars do I have in my driveway?
That's what their hopes is in.
Sure.
Though that day they're going to retire.
Right.
They don't know they're getting to that. By the time they get there, they're getting to the close to their end.
Yeah. And by now, some of them have already passed that point and gone to that point. Okay. For the wicked boasts of the heart desire, and blessed the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. That's a big word.
It's very one they agree with and they like company with is very one the Lord doesn't.
Right. The word abhorreth, I want everybody to understand. Little ladies, yeah. Joy, abhor. They hate. The Lord hateth. You can put that word right there, and that's exactly what it means. In other words, a wicked person really doesn't have any friends. Because everybody else don't like what he's been saying. They don't like what he has. He's just bragging about what he has. Verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. Now here's the part. Remember this part. Remember this part of the scripture. Memorize it. We're in Psalms 10 and verse 4. He said, God is not in all of his thoughts. Linda, where have I seen that scripture before? God is not in all of his thoughts. As the elect of God and as a servant of the Lord, I feel like, Brother J.T., somebody's already mentioned it this very day. When we get up in the morning, I begin to think about the Lord. I want to read a few of his verses in your scripture. I want to see what kind of message he has for me. And it's amazing how many times he has scripture that points towards somebody else even. And he points me down the road. This is what you've got to do today. But the wicked, you know what they're going to do? They're going to say, well, this is what I've got to do today. This is what I'm going to do. And you know, I've got to rearrange all these cars I have in my driveway. Verse 9, his ways are always grievous or severe. He has grievous ways. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, you know who his enemies are? You are the enemy of the wicked. That is, if you belong to the Lord. Did I come up and begin to talk to you in a friendly sense? They have comfort in talking with you? But God sees them as your enemy. He puffeth at them. Now, I don't know what the word puffet means, Brother JT. He puffeth at them. Anybody understand what that word means?
Well, it's kind of like, that's all it takes with him, just a little puff, blow you away.
Not very much.
Yeah. His enemies are absolutely nothing, just with his mouth he gets rid of.
And that's what they'll do. If you're not real careful, they'll go down the street talking to you. Reminds me, let me tell you about this one. I had a neighbor across the street. He had a beautiful, beautiful wool coat that he had bought in Canada. And he couldn't wear it. He didn't like it. He didn't want it. And he come on there one day and give it to me. Okay? So thank you, I forget what his name is now.
Ringo.
Yeah, Ringo. He now works for the highway department. But nonetheless, I have this beautiful red coat. It's still hanging in the closet. I don't wear that, but I wear it some. Every once in a while, but it gets real cold. It don't get that cold here. But it sure was a nice coat. And I took it, you know. And then a few weeks later, he comes down there to my house. He knocks on the door again, and we begin to talk. And next thing I know, he was talking about three or four different neighbors up and down the street. And he said,
he went over to the other neighbor and talking about you.
That's what I assumed. Because, you see, he got to a stopping point, and I said, I forget how we got around to it, but it was this exact point that we got across, that I got across to me. And I said, hey, he was talking about going down there and seeing them. I said, when you go down there, are you talking about me? He never did come back. But I still thank him for that red coat, Bruce. I'm not going to give it to you. I might one day, we'll see. If the Lord really gets after me about it, I might pull it out of the closet. Verse 6. He has said in his heart, that's the wicked person. He said in his heart, I shall not be moved, or I shall never be in adversity.
Right.
Everything I do is going to be right. I can handle everything around me.
No problems.
No. Right. I don't have any problems.
That's the way with his kid, wouldn't it? He got that on his kid.
Verse 7. His mouth is full of cursing. Now we've heard plenty of those, Brother JT, out on these jobs.
Oh yeah, I've had it get on some of them.
His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. I really hate to say this, but we have had a person here in this congregation at one time that like to use profanity. And I have plenty of them on my jobs too, Brother JT.
Yeah.
They always wanted to.
I may have called a special job meeting and tell them we're just not going to do that on this job. You may do it on the next one. We're not going to do it out here, by here, you know.
That's it.
Yeah.
Not a lot.
There's plenty of words in the English.
Yeah, but the majority of the time is good.
You don't have to use that.
No, the majority of the time they're, well, how good I am. And I can have a job just fine. And I can be an authority, you know, if I have to be. I'm in self-control. I'm complete control out here. That's the wicked person, by the way. That's the way they act and live. Verse 8. He said it at the lurking places of the villages. Village. Okay, I'm going to stop right there just for a minute because I remember when I was a young person living at home, a teenager. You know where they always wanted to go? To the Dairy Queen. That's the sign that was out there, Dairy Queen. Lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. It's unbelievable when you get in small groups sometimes, somebody will begin to talk about somebody else and how much they hate them. And they won't use the word hate, but they'll begin to describe, say, well, this person will do that and this and that, and I don't like that, and trying to be religious in some fact, in some way, but okay, read. He murders the innocent. His eyes are privately set against the poor. Privately. Now, I have told, when I get to that word right there, when I get to this passage right here, I began to remember those homeless people that are standing under the bridge down here, Bruce, not this one here, but the one down at Bellway 8 and 249 and then in that area in there. And they literally live in there because I could see them up in the bulwark or whatever you want to call it, under part of the bridge up there on the ledge, and they'll be sleeping up under there. He sits in the lurking places of the villages, in the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. While he's sitting up there, laying up there sleeping, he's criticizing and dreaming about and fantasizing about how much he hates some of those other people down there that taking up coins from the drivers going by. They're probably up there with it. I wish he'd go somewhere else so I could get a few coins. The thing about it is, I feel sorry when I don't have a banana laying in my seat of my truck there in my car and I can give it to them.
Well,
I want to help them too, Brother JT.
Well, it depends. We may not be hitting him. If there's 9 million jobs, I understand, in this United States today that are waiting to be filled, and they're down there sleeping under the bridge.
Sometimes
they can be doing something.
But
I understand you go down there and give that dude some money, you may just prop him up another day, he'll stay. instead of going out there and what the Lord told us. You go to work, most of them are in denial, and they want to think, well, I'll just do what I want to do. I'm not going to earn my bread by the sweat of my brow. I'm going to get it off of the next poor guy that comes back.
Right. Some of us
I call that aiding and abetting.
That's for sure, aiding.
If a man's hungry,
let him go work.
Feed him. If he comes to you,
well,
you don't have to go hunt him up.
Yeah, that's the way I felt about that guy that was visiting the church over there. We went and bought the food for him, took over his family in the place that they were staying. He fed me the story that he had a family over there. And that's the reason that we did it that way. Because I don't give them the cash.
Mm-hmm.
Never have. Not, well, in the beginning maybe I have, but I learned better not to do that. Verse 9. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. That's what those guys on that bridge I was talking about. This is laying
here.
Laying up their lives.
Most of them waiting to pounce on something.
Uh-huh. Waiting to take it away from them. If the offering is good to them, well, they'll go down there and help. Take up part of it.
Yeah.
He lieth in wait to catch the sword. Remember, we're talking about the wicked now. Trying to. He doth catch his whore when he draweth him into his net. Yeah, the guy they're hiding up there sleeping in his comfort of his, in the shade of that bridge, and that he's going to come down there and convince this poor man that he ought to share part of it with him. He croucheth, verse 10, he croucheth and humbleth himself. He humbleth himself. He's going to tell everybody how good he is. He said, well, I can help too. That the poor may fall by his strong ones. Now, I don't know exactly what his strong ones are. He must have some people that care something about him. Verse 11. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will answer. He will never see it. It's amazing how many people you see up on the street or even in our neighborhoods I was talking about. They go about doing things and they don't believe that God knows exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
There is another family there on our street that I hate to keep talking about them. But he lives across the street. And they're always working on cars over there, and I suspect greatly that they're stolen cars. I don't know that for sure, okay? But they always have money. And then at night, in the middle of the night, I hear them shooting a pistol up and down that barrel back behind them. I know for a fact that a young lady was shot out there on the street in front of our house. But they said, well, God don't know anything about that. He doesn't have any idea about what those guys are working on back there behind the house. Every once in a while, somebody call the police and they'll come driving down the street and back. It's all over with. He will never see it. That's what the wicked man says, Joy. But God knows everything that transpires in your mind and in your presence, inside the house, outside the house, inside your car, inside your red truck, Joy. He knows. He knows what you think it is. In the last several weeks, Linda and I, and she's where you live together, we'll be driving down the highway over there, and some of these wild drivers will go flying past us. They'll be driving slow, and you pull up behind them and pass them, and the next thing you know, they're passing you real fast. They pass you with hatred in them, in their actions. God doesn't know what they're up to thinking or doing. And we've been hearing about a lot of gunshots in the town, in the city, since the first of the year. I believe since the first of the year, there were over. Now, this doesn't involve just the traffic, but there have been over 200 people shot and killed. To murder. Isn't that terrible? But it's the wicked people that's driving up and down the street with that kind of attitude. When you see somebody with that kind of attitude, he's not. How is he right with God? He's not going up and down there preaching the gospel. Verse 12. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. I hope each one of us in here are humble when we go out into a business place, in the car, or any place else. We're humble. When we face each other, we're humble. David says, forget not the humble. Verse 4, that the wicked condemn God. And said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Does that mean argue, Brother JT? Condemn?
Well, it means if wherefore they have been fear of God, they just say, oh, well, it's all right. God's not going to require that. There's no judgment. They don't think there's any judgment like that. It's just whatever
goes on. No, well, God let it go.
God, yeah, and God's so good, he's not going to really require
it. Yeah, he loves us.
Yeah. Anywhere you are. That's the reason they say, come like you are. Make it simple for them to fall off in the pit.
Verse 14, thou hast seen it. Thou beholdest. Yeah, we've seen it, haven't we, Brother JT?
Yeah.
We sure have. Thou hast seen it. Thou beholdest mischief and spite to requite it with thy hand. Mm-hmm. The poor committed himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break down the arm of the wicked. I can see David in that cave, if that's where he was at this particular time. And he had men in a cave next door to him. And the evil man, those that hated him, trying to kill him, coming around. And David says, break down the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till you find none. Is that okay, Brother JT?
Well, it is for the Lord. That's his prayer, though, that he would work with him.
Yeah.
He would deal with him until he would understand.
You don't want to just go out every time we have a grievance against somebody because of their wickedness. We don't want to go just go out and execute them. Get even with them is what we used to say. We're to be humble. And we're to love them. Verse 16 says, the Lord is King forever and ever. Now we don't need to go anywhere else right there. He's the King forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his hand. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. It's left in the Lord's hands. And he will do a work in their life. If he so desires.
Yeah.
To judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. If God so desires, he can take a whole nation. And change their desires. And change their actions. And change their way of doing things. In chapter 11, he says, In the Lord put I my trust. I'm thankful that we come here. Brother Bruce, you were standing here talking about you were referring to the virus. And we trust the Lord that he's taken care of us. And he has taken care of us. And I'm thankful for it. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul? Now, I have to stop here again because I hear it so often. Many different people in many different places. We, the saint of God, lives in a body and we have a soul. So every single person here that belongs to the Lord has a body and a soul. Does anybody disagree with that? I hope you don't. Flee as a bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow up on the string that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Brother JT, did you use that verse this morning?
Sure.
Did you use that verse this morning?
No, but Paul has used it a whole lot recently.
Yeah, I've heard it many times. I'm going to read it again. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his body, I'm sorry, in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold eyelids. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord tries the righteous, but the wicked. And him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Let me read that one again. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. I had to scratch myself. I scratched my head on that one the other day, too.
Well, that's what I was talking about this morning, that if you don't have some doubt, about your salvation. You never try it. And the Lord is always trying you, and that's the difference between God's people and the people of the world, is they're always trying the Spirit, whether it be the one in them or the Spirit that's acting with them.
And they're probably wrong.
Well, you try the Spirit, and the Spirit tries you to give you security and comfort when you're in doubt.
And sometimes we need that comfort.
We need it all the time. We need to be tried all the time. There's always a trying, even with oneself and with the Spirit of the Lord. It needs to be trying or judging, if we just use that term a little differently. We need to be judging, and we pray that God would be judging also, that it might condemn us of what we do wrong.
But then I have this question there on that last phrase there. That loveth violence,
but
his soul hateth.
Yeah. Fellow that loveth violence, the Lord don't have any pleasure in him.
Sure don't. He cannot.
And that's man. That is man's nature. Outside of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
He's violent.
Yes.
That's the reason we got so much crime now. If they take away the judgment of it, the crime increases.
So there's no way that the wicked man can overpower God's judgment.
No. God has given them over to that violence. That's what they wanted.
Mm-hmm. Verse 6, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and there's the answer right there, fire and brimstone and horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup.
Yeah, that's what they're in here, that's it.
That's all they get.
Yeah.
For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to read any further, but I want to go back and read that one scripture I read earlier in the book of John. Does anybody have any questions or comments about these two chapters? It's found in John 13.
Mm-hmm.
A new commandment I give unto you. Can you remember this? That you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now that shall all men know that you are my disciples. When we walk out that front door today, or the back door, whatever case it might be, that's what we are. We're his disciples. We're to serve the Lord. We're to live like he wants us to live. We're to serve him as God's word instructs us to. Now this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Let's remember to care for each other. That's all I have today. Bruce, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer?
Our Father and our God, we do thank you for bringing us here to this place of worship and to hear your word spoken. Lord, we ask that you would help us to think more about the things above, to think more about
Amen.
Your word, to think more about Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
than to think about the things that are going on in this world. Lord, we are concerned. Lord, we know all will go well because you are bringing it to pass.
And we know it will.
And we have that faith for Christ and that trust and that love that you have put in our hearts. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for this day. Thank you for each one who's here. Lord, we pray that you will deliver us back home safely. And we do pray that you'll bring our pastor and his wife back to us for the next Lord's Day. We thank you and praise you for us, who you are and what you do for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.